بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Umdatul Ahkam, the reference on the rulings, and we reach the new chapter on Al-Hayd, on menses. The chapter on Hayd. Hayd linguistically means, in Arabic it means, in the language it means As-Sayalan, the flow. And in the Shara, in the legal aspect of the meaning, it refers to the flow of natural blood, which is disposed by the womb in certain specific times when a woman reaches the state of puberty and when she is fit for pregnancy. This is the technical or legal meaning of Al-Hayd. And here one should know that this is created by Allah. This blood is created by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, most blessed and most high, to nourish the fetus. And secondly, it is ordained on the daughters of Adam since their creation until our times and to the day of resurrection. Allah knows best. Why? Because it is a natural blood, and that's why you don't find the woman harmed by it, even though it's frequent. But rather, she may be touched by some kind of weakness. Had it been something unnatural, it would have harmed her a lot, because it comes out in large quantities. Thirdly, that it is frequent, and most often it comes every month, and sometimes every 2 months or 3 months or 4 months. And then it comes for one entire month, and this occurs. Most common duration of Hayd, of menses, is 6 or 7 days. Sometimes 10, and sometimes 15, and so on. But most common duration is 6 to 7 days. It occurs with the female when she reaches the state of puberty, and it doesn't occur at an earlier age except very rarely. And it has certain characteristics. From that is, first, it is dark, intensely dark. And second, it is thick and dense. And thirdly, it has an unpleasant smell, and that's why in the hadith it is mentioned, إِنَّ دَمَ الْحَيْدِ أَسْوَدُ يُعْرَفُ. The blood of Hayd is aswad, black, dark, known. some of the contemporary physicians mentioned that the Hayd blood does not coagulate, and if it does, it goes very slowly. In contrast to the regular blood, where it coagulates quickly. And that this is because it coagulates before it comes out. It coagulates in the womb first, before it comes out. Now, is there a specific age for menstruating? Two opinions. First, that it has a beginning and an end, and that it begins when the female reaches 10 years of age, and whatever occurs before this age is not considered as menses, and that it ends if she completes 50 years of age, and whatever occurs, after that is not Hayd, even if it continues regularly with her beyond the 50 years of age. And even if it carries the same characteristics as the Hayd blood. The second opinion, and this is the correct opinion, that there is no specific age of duration or an age for menstruating. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, verse 222, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. And they ask you concerning menstruation, say it is أذى, a harmful thing for both husband and wife to have sexual intercourse during menses. And here Allah generalized. They ask you about concerning menstruation, say that is adha, harmful. Also in the sunnah came with the generalization. And anything that is generalized in the book and or in the sunnah, then it requires a specific evidence to limit it. And there are examples to this as well. Travel, for example, there is no specific limitation on it. Or there is no specific distance. Next. Does menstruation have a specific duration, time-wise? Two opinions. First opinion, yes, it has. The least being 1 day and one night, and the most being 15 days. The second opinion, and this is the correct opinion, is that it has no duration, time limiting it to a certain time, meaning specific duration of time in terms of the length of time of the period. So the correct opinion that the Hayd is a known blood. Whenever it its present, then its rulings are affirmed, and when it's absent, its rulings are lifted, not affirmed. However, if it persists beyond 15 days, which is the utmost duration in accordance with the earlier opinion, then we may say that whatever exceeds the 50 days, then it is istihada, which is the persistent bleeding beyond the haid duration, unless we know that the increase beyond 15 days was due to delay in the menses. Then in this case we say that the duration, all of it, is haid in this case. And we will talk shortly about the difference between haid and istihada, the persistent bleeding and the regular menstruation. Tenth matter, or the next matter, is to mention that haid is not limited to the daughters of Adam. There are other creatures also who go into menses. Many, many of the creation, like animals, many animals go through menses, especially those who give birth. Now, this is the first type of blood, the haid, the menstruation. The second type of blood is an nifas, which is postpartum bleeding. And the third, the nifas is the postpartum bleeding following the delivery, or shortly before the delivery, 1 day or 2 days. The third type of blood is the istihada blood. And this is a non-menses, distinguished, persistent bleeding all or most of the days beyond what is mostly common periods of menses, such that it stops only for a few days. This is the istihada, non-menses, distinguished, persistent bleeding all or most of the days beyond what is mostly common period of menses, such that it stops only for few days. Some scholars considered the blood, the vessel blood, as a fourth type, and they said that this is not considered to be haid, and they gave an example as the blood of the pregnant woman. They said this is a vessel blood, because in general the pregnant woman does not menstruate. And they also considered that the blood which comes from the woman below the age, before the age of 9 and after 50, and it is not like the hyd blood. They classified this as a fourth type. They called it vessel blood. However, the correct opinion is that this vessel blood, if it carries the characteristics of hyd blood, that of menses, then it is menses. And if it doesn't, then it is istihada. Then it is istihada type. So there is no need for this fourth classification. Also, they considered a fifth classification, which they called it al-mashkuku fi, doubted blood. And they said that this type refers to that which exceeds the least of the duration of menses, which is 1 day and one night. And includes that which may return to the woman during her postpartum period after she becomes pure in her postpartum period. They said this is doubtful. But again, the correct opinion that if this agrees with her regular period, then it is hayd. And if it doesn't, then it is istihada. So therefore, it boils down that we have only three types of blood: hayd, menstruation, hayd blood, nifas, postpartum bleeding, and thirdly, istihada. Thirdly, istihada, which is the persistent bleeding. طيب. Next matter, we should know that hyd blood or hyd prevents the woman from certain things and obligates upon her certain things. The hyd prevents the woman from certain things, and yet it obligates upon her other things. First, the things that the hayd prevents woman from doing. The hayd, or the things that the hayd prevents, yes, the woman from doing. First, it prevents the woman from doing ritual purification during hayd. So if she takes a bath, a ritual bath, before her period is over, then this is not considered as a purification. Secondly, it prevents the wudu, for her making wudu. Thirdly, prevents prevents her from reciting the Quran according to the majority opinion amongst the scholars. And who considered it analogous to the state of sexual defilement. And they provided evidences, however, either they are, or these evidences are authentic but not explicit, or explicit but inauthentic. The second opinion concerning this is that it is permissible for her to read the Quran or recite the Quran while in a state of menses. And this is the choice of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who said that there is no explicit and authentic narration to prevent her otherwise. And some took a medium course and said that if she needs to recite, like if she is a teacher or someone who seeks knowledge or a student or someone who knows the Quran by heart and wants to review her memorization, or she has her regular remembrances during the day, then there is no harm upon her in doing so. And this latter opinion is the precautionary opinion. So, if she needs that, she may do. And this is the opinion of our Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. The fourth thing that she is prevented from doing is touching the mushaf, the copy of the Quran, due to the hadith of Amr bin Hazm radiallahu ta'ala anhu, none should touch the Quran except the one who is pure. Fifthly, hayd, menses, prevents from tawaf, circulating the Kaaba. Is this due to tahara, purity being a condition for tawaf, or is it due to being present in the masjid? The answer is the latter one. It's due for being present in the masjid. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she had her menses, if'ali ma yaf'ali al-hajj, do all that which the hajj, the pilgrim does, illa an tatufi bil bayt, except that you shouldn't make tawaf around the house. Sixthly, the menstruating woman is prevented from making salah due to the hadith. Isn't it that if she menstruates, does not pray nor fast? And this hadith will come in this chapter later, inshallah, for discussion. Seventh, the menstruating woman is prevented from fasting due to the aforementioned hadith. However, she makes up the fasting, but she does not make up the salah. And the wisdom is to ease on her from hardship, the hardship of making up the salah. Eighthly, the woman is legally prevented from making i'tikaf, worshipping Allah by having the ritual seclusion in the masjid. because she is prevented from staying in the masjid. Ninthly, staying in the masjid. Ninthly, staying in the masjid. Due to the hadith which we mentioned earlier about the tawaf, hadith of Aisha, except that you shouldn't make tawaf in the house or around the house, the Kaaba, until you are pure. The tenth condition is to have intercourse in her private part, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ, and don't approach them in sexual intercourse until they become pure. The 11th matter is divorcing a woman in a state of menses, because this will be to other than her waiting period, because also this is an innovation. This, she will not have a period in this case. The regular estimation and the correct estimation for her waiting period, so that we don't mix the period with the waiting period. Now, and it is an innovation. And also, 12, if she menstruates, this will prevent her from calculating her waiting period by months, taking by the months as the waiting period. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah At-Talaq, chapter 65, verse 4, واللائي يئسن من المحيض من نسائكم إن ارتبتم فعدتهن ثلاثة أشهر واللائي لم يحضن. And those of your women as have passed the age of monthly courses, for them the iddah prescribed period, if you have doubts, is 3 months. And for those who have no courses, their waiting period is 3 months likewise, except in the case of death. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated with respect to the one whose waiting period is based upon the menstruations, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَا بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ, and to the divorced woman, they should have their waiting period of 3 menstrual periods. 13. The haid prevents the beginning of the waiting period. So, in this case, she needs to become pure, then begins her iddah, her waiting period, after that, with the menses that follows. These are the matters which prevent the woman from the menstruation. These are the matters which the haid prevents the woman from doing. Now, the matters which haid obligates upon her to do. First, obligation, if she menstruates, the obligation that her waiting period will be according to her menses. And this will be different, like for example, from that prescribed period following the death of her husband. which is 4 months and 10 days. So therefore here, if she is divorced, then she will be obligated to have her waiting period based upon haid. Secondly, haid necessitates taking a bath, as will come in the hadith, in this chapter, the first hadith. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh in the next hadith, or in the first hadith of this chapter, ثُمَّ اغْتَسِلِي, then take a bath, meaning following her period. Third, it necessitates the establishment of puberty. So if she becomes pregnant, then this is a sign for her puberty, and this is not possible except when there is menses. Fourth, haid necessitates that the womb is free and occupied by pregnancy, by a load. These are the matters obligated by haid. Now, with respect now to situation where woman may have persistent bleeding, istihada. First situation, istihada occurring to a woman who has her haid for the first time and it continues with it. Here in this case, the woman, if she has a distinction, meaning if the blood is of the type that can be distinguished. So what is distinguished as haid blood, then it is haid. Otherwise, it will be istihada blood. And istihada blood has the opposite characteristics of the haid blood. So the characteristics of the istihada blood is, first, it is not as dark. Second, it is thin. And thirdly, it doesn't have an unpleasant smell. So therefore, if she has the distinction, then she follows by the distinction and she will find out the haid time and distinguish that from the istihada time. Now, in case she doesn't have the distinction, then she refers to the most often regular period of woman related to her from her sisters, mother, relatives, and takes that as reference for her haid time to distinguish it from the istihada time. And if she, on the other hand, has a regular period, meaning the haid occurs with her in specific times, then she takes that as reference, and what exceeds that would be istihada. And this applies whether she has a distinction or no. In case her regular period becomes disturbed, her regular timing of the period becomes disturbed, then she goes to distinction. And if she has no distinction, then she refers to the most often duration of the period of her woman, sisters, relatives, etc. The question here is, under this situation of disturbance, where does she start? The answer, she begins from the first day where she had the blood, when she had the blood. For example, if the first time she had the blood was on the 10th of the month, so the next month she will have to begin from the 10th and have the 6 or 7 days that are known to be the common. And if she gets the blood on the first day of the month, then she sits from the first day of the next month. And if she forgets when did she have the blood, when did it begin, when did it begin, then she begins from the first day of the lunar month. For example, she knew that she had the menses in Muharram, the first month of the Islamic calendar. And then she had her istihada. From the time she had her haid, and she has no distinction and no regular timing, and she says, I don't know, I don't remember, did the blood come in the beginning of the month or the middle of the month or the latter part of the month? Here we make it from the beginning of the month, of the lunar month, from way of precaution. Now, the woman in istihada who has a known regular timing of her period, then when these regular days are finished, then she must take a bath. Then she makes wudu for each salah. And the one who doesn't have this regular days, or she has no distinction, then either she takes the bath at the end of the most common hide duration of woman like her from her relatives, etc. And then she makes wudu for each salah, or she takes a bath for each salah. But in this case, she combines the dhuhr and asr and the maghrib with the isha, maghrib and isha. So she has the choice. She has the choice. Either she takes a bath at the end of this period, determined by the most common period time of her relative woman, or most of women like her. So for example, if that is 6 or 7 days, then after the 7th day, for example, then she takes the ghusl, and following these days, she will make wudu for each salah. Or she makes ghusl for each salah. However, in this case, if she chooses this alternative, then she combines between dhuhr and asr, and maghrib and isha. Because this is what the Prophet ﷺ gave the choice to Hamna bin Jahsh, the sister of Fatima bin Jahsh. May Allah be pleased with both of them. So with respect to a woman who has a regular known timing of her period, and she is in a state of istihada, then when her regular timing is finished, she makes the ghusl, in this case obligatory. And then after that, she makes wudu for each salah. This brings the end of this introduction to this subject. And inshallah, in the next talk, we will begin the hadith, the first hadith under this chapter. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم